It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. 10:07. And we are here to take your calls and your questions here on a Sunday morning. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Phone line's open. Happy to take your calls and questions. It's the best part of Money Matters. We'll do so. 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Kind of building off of a call that we just had. We had a gentleman call and ask about shorting. It's a vehicle that shorts the NASDAQ. The nuances of this were that it's a triple leveraged short, which makes it a kind of a very esoteric product, and it's a kind of a risky vehicle to be able to do so. But it brings up the point. Really, the point here is less about the product itself and more about really timing markets, because this vehicle that we just took a call about is almost a daily trading vehicle. It's presented and very often misunderstood that, oh, I can hold this, and if the market goes down 10%, I'm going to be up 30. It doesn't work that way, because it resets itself every single day in the market. So it gets back to really this almost hedge fund-esque environment where you would have to trade it. If you use this vehicle, you've got to understand it on almost an hourly basis, and that's how this is really works. But it gets back to the fundamental point, and this is I wanted to revisit some research about timing markets. Is that it's very, very difficult to do so. And anytime we get a call that has to do with a particular product, and I welcome these calls. Sometimes we're talking about ETFs that are a basket of companies. I think that it's a great idea. Other times I think it's not so good. I want to try to protect you from hurting yourself as an investor. And if I don't use one of these vehicles, I'll tell you. And I don't use these ultra leveraged short vehicles. I think they're dangerous. But ultimately, it gets back to, it's not necessarily a question of protection. It's a question about really timing, right? It's a question about timing the market. And in essence, G was asking, hey, is now a good time to be shorting markets? Because aren't we headed into a correction mode? Well, the answer there is that we just had a correction. We had a full 10, 12% correction. We still have not fought our way back out of that. But it goes back to the same fundamental. You and I as investors were always tempted to get timing right. Of course we are, right? We're trained to buy at a low or at the nadir or a trough of a cycle. And then we're trained in theory to say, okay, well, we had a great run. Let's ring the register and let's get out. So we sell high. That's ultimately what investors would like to do intuitively. And it's okay. That's kind of just human nature when it comes to investing. And there are a lot of scary things out there. Of course, the fear of, we just named a whole bunch of scary, call these bricks in the wall of worry. Call them bricks in the wall of worry. Fed, interest rates going up. What's that going to do? The inverted yield curve, the upside, we're calling it today, the upside down yield curve. We know that precedes recessions. Peak earnings. What happens if earnings start to slow down from here? What happens if wage inflation ticks up? We know that that causes a recession. So there's a lot that can go wrong. And that, not to mention all the worries about trade, China, what's going to happen with the tariffs? What's going to happen with North Korea? So there's always something to worry about. But the key message I want to talk about here today, or remind us all, is that over time, A, we know we can't time markets perfectly. Even Warren Buffett will tell you that. But over time, we've got to understand that historically, it's participation that really works, not perfection. And if you go back and I pulled a study that I think is very relevant to remind all of us listening today, all of you joining us here on Money Matters, let's take a look at if we were to time certain periods of the market in a perfect way versus in a very imperfect way, what are the results? So I took, if we go back, we use some market data, we're using the S&P 500 here, we're going to take $10,000 and we're going to invest it in different periods of time. And each period of time reflects whether right before we saw a major stock market correction. So we could have invested it right before and gotten hit in this correction, and then we held it over time versus investing at the perfectly right time. And what are the differences between those periods? So we're comparing perfect market timing, meaning that when the correction is at its bottom, that's when we got the money to work, right? Buying perfectly low. Or the worst possible timing, getting invested right before we saw a correction, meaning that right before the market dip that you got started here. Versus, so that's two scenarios, perfect timing, terrible timing, and then just sitting money in cash or leaving money sitting there in CDs, where we know we have no downside and a tiny bit of upside. Here's how the numbers compare. And I'm going to look at it, quickly look at a 25-year, a 17, a 15, an 8, and a 5. These are all different periods of time. So 25-year period, a 17-year period. So over the long run, let's go back to the year 1990. And we're going to remember what we're doing here. We're taking 10 grand and we're investing it. In this case, till the end of 16, 17 would make these numbers a tiny bit different, but it certainly serves our purpose here. The long run, 25 years, we started in 1990. In 1990, we saw a four-month bear market, by the way. If we did this perfectly and we invested in with the perfect timing, that we in that bear market at the bottom of the 4 months, we put our 10 grand to work. Over this 25-year period, that 10,000 grew to 113,000. So perfect timing yielded a pretty remarkable result. 10 grand turns into 113,000. Well, if we did it at the very worst timing, so you're contemplating getting money invested, it's 1990, and you went ahead and you jumped and you got invested, and then we have a bear market. So the worst possible timing you could have had. What did that $10,000 turn into over 25 years? Well, it still turned into $100,000. So perfect timing got us to 113. The worst possible timing of the year got us to 100,000. Very, very similar results. Holding cash over that whole period of time, our 10 would have grown to 20. So over 25 years, 10,000 would have slowly doubled to 20,000, but it took 2.5 decades to do so. My point here is that we had this vastly different timing periods. You would have thought would have produced vastly different results. Hey, Wes, maybe the bad timing 10 turned into 30, perfect timing 10 turned into 113. No, that's not the case. This illustrates the point that terrible timing still had money go from 10 grand to 100,000. Perfect timing, yeah, we did a little bit better. 10,000 turned into 113, but over time, not a significant difference. Similar if we go back all the way, if we started in 1998, so 17 years of market data to the end of 2016, we invested in 1998. By the way, that was a year where we got a full 20% correction, really technically a bear market in that year. Perfect timing. If we did it perfectly right at the bottom of that bear market, that 10,000 would have turned into 29,000. The worst possible timing, so we got the money invested right before the bear market. Worst possible timing, still money grew to 25,000. So 25 grand versus 29 grand. You see here the pattern. It's less about getting this perfect and less about this perfect timing and more about just participating over time. Cash, by the way, grew to 14 grand. So 10 grand grew to 14 grand. So even the worst possible timing, you were far ahead in stocks than sitting money in cash. Similar story on a 15-year basis. And even in the short run, if you look at an 8-year example, so 2008 to 2016, of course, you know that we went through the Great Recession, the financial crisis. This is a really, really difficult period of time for stocks. During the perfect timing scenario, our 10,000 grew to 29. During the worst possible timing, so basically getting invested right before the financial crisis, 10,000 still turned into 16,000. So he still did very well, even with not so perfect timing. Cash, by the way, during that period of time was perfectly flat because we know interest rates were virtually zero throughout that whole period of time. It isn't until very recently we've seen some uptick in interest rates for short-term money. But even investing in the worst period of time, that beat cash by 54%. And then, of course, the very short run from 2011 to the end of 2016, we saw, again, we saw a 20% correction during this period of time as well, or close to 20% correction. Perfect timing invested. 10 grand turned into 18. The worst timing, 10 grand still turned into 16,500. Cash, again, during that period of time was perfectly flat. You would have gotten about 13 bucks in interest or your rate of return. So even in this very short period of time, the worst possible timing beat cash by 66%. And I go through this because understanding this history and putting this into context just reinforces one of my favorite investment mantras, which is participation, not perfection, is key. Participation and being an investor over time in equities, that's really the key here. In every single scenario that I just outlined, investing in the worst possible time still bested or beat holding cash, not just by a little bit, but by a long, long shot. So whether it's 5 years or 8 years or 15 or 17 or 25, in the study that I just cited here, and I just wrote about this for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, I believe you'll see that next Sunday's paper, so next Sunday, which would be Memorial Day weekend, I outline these results. So if you missed, didn't catch everything today, you can find this via podcast on wesmoss.com or on iTunes. If you go to iTunes, you subscribe. It's Wes Moss, Money Matters. Or I will outline this in the business section now. We moved from the living section to the business section on Sundays in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So Memorial Day weekend, I believe that's when this runs, or maybe that Monday, Tuesday, depending on the holiday. But with that, we've got to go quick news, weather, traffic. Then we'll come back. We'll take some phone calls. The number in the studio, phone lines open, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead. My mind, I'm gone, Carolina. Wow, I love that. Jason, I'm so thankful that you played that because actually I am going to Carolina next weekend, Memorial Day weekend, back to the alma mater for the weekend. Yeah, wow, that's exciting. So I mean, even taking the kids, one house, 10 adults, 12 children. Sounds like just an absolute mess. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Let's go right back to the phones here. Audrey joins us from the great city of Morningside. Audrey, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Wes. That sounds like a good time. Headed up to North Carolina myself for Memorial Day.
Nice.
I wanted to tell you as an aside, definitely do not sell the AbbVie stock or the old Abbott stock. It's probably a ploy for them to generate money to acquire a smaller company. Definitely would not want to do that unless they were on their way to retire or something.
Are you in pharma, or Audrey? Are you in the pharmaceutical world?
I might be.
You might be. Okay. Under code name Audrey, who calling, by the way, from a far distant in-town neighborhood that we typically don't get calls from. So I'm so excited to hear that you're from the in-town of Morningside. I think I know that area fairly well, Audrey. What's going on? How can I help?
Yeah. Well, you know, just watching the drama of the dogs walking by and trying to get along this morning in the neighborhood.
Sounds like you might have been walking past my house. We've got a German Shepherd that is so sweet, super. She's so sweet. We've had her since we had little kids, and she's just really friendly even with kids. But you put her in the front yard, and she sounds like a machine gun. She's so scary. People like, especially if there's even a small little dog walking by, she makes it seem like it's this giant intruder. You may have been walking by my house. You know what? I'm sorry we were chit-chatting. Hang on. As soon as we get back from break, I know you have a question about housing in one of these complicated in-town neighborhoods. That'll be a wonderful question. So hang on, Audrey. Audrey joins us from Morningside. When we come back, Money Matters. Straight ahead. And Okay, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, 35 minutes past the hour. We're going to go back to the phones. So Wes Moss here along with Ryan Ealy here on a Sunday morning. Yes, my voice a tiny bit off, actually probably a lot off after coaching 5 lacrosse games yesterday and screaming and yelling for 15 hours straight. But we're here alive and well and so excited to be here on a Sunday morning, as always, to take your calls and your questions. 404-872-0750. So if you're headed to church or maybe back from church, welcome to Money Matters. If you have questions about either an investment question or a planning question or just a financial / life question, real estate, we're here to help. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're back to Audrey from Morningside. So anyway, so thanks for holding, Audrey. What's going on? I know you have some sort of housing related question. How can I help?
Oh, thank you, Wes, for extending the call. I have a house and am thinking about listing it and not really sure. I do have a house to land in North Carolina, but I'm not really sure what the implications would be. It's a house that I bought in 2009 at the bottom of the market, and I just wanted to get some groundwork for that.
So let's just go over the round numbers here. What'd you buy the house for?
$469,000.
And then what do you think it's worth today? What do you think it will sell for approximately?
Probably there's equity in the top of it, which I just refuse to deal with because I've had to re-engineer the entire house. It's a bungalow, typical, which you would see in that neighborhood. And so I would assume about $800,000 probably.
Got it. You had a couple people, by the way, Audrey, just drove off the road in East Cobb when you just said $800,000 for a bungalow. And that is the one difference in Atlanta real estate, that the in-town neighborhoods are somewhat ridiculous, right? It's good, mm-hmm. been great for you, Audrey. You bought at you're somewhat of a real estate genius. You bought in 2009. You buy this house for $470,000. It's worth $800,000 today. That's been pretty phenomenal rate of return. All the while you've been living in it. So it's been a really great investment. I guess a couple quick questions on this. Is that just all appreciation because of the obviously I know the timing was great, but is it, did you have to put a bunch of money into the house or not really?
Yeah, definitely had to put a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
You can think of.
Okay. What do you think, how much do you think you put into the house over all these years?
Oh gosh, probably 200.
Oh, okay.
Do a kitchen, reconfigure that, do a roof, do the electrical. I mean, just you name it. You know how it goes.
I do.
Everything I do. Is old, and it had a garage, believe it or not, but now it's not a garage anymore. And so it's been reconfigured entirely.
Well, here's the deal. And again, this is approximately $800,000. How big is this house again? Is it a 3 or 2 bedroom? How big is it?
It's a 3-2. It's probably just shy of 2,000 square feet. So
again, this is not Audrey calling from Palo Alto, California. This is Audrey calling from Morningside, where a 3-2 bungalow, 1,950 square feet, is almost $1 million. Yes, that's not a misprint. It's just mm-hmm. that, yeah, some of these in-town neighborhoods have gotten really, really pricey. So let's just do some quick math. Let's say that you had bought this for 470. You didn't do any work to it. It just doubled it went to 800. You'd have a gain of $330,000, right? And yeah. And then because you get an exemption of 250, are you married or single?
Single now.
Okay, so single, you get a $250,000 primary residence capital, or you get exemption from capital gain. So that's a big deal, right? You would have $330,000 gain minus your exemption of 250, right? you would you'd have a gain of, let's call it, $80,000, right? And then long-term capital gain on that, not the end of the world. You move on, you buy a place in the beautiful state of North Carolina. However, what you're telling me is that you put a lot of money in here. So really your basis, Audrey, is not 470. It's probably more like 670. So
yeah.
670 minus 800, you have under, you're still going to make a ton of money, but your gain is only caught 130. You've got an exemption of 250. So I'm not a CPA, but I obviously consult very often on matters like this, kind of an investment tax question. You probably are going to be okay from a capital gain standpoint because your gain is less than 250 if you count all of the money you put into the house. So, and again, okay, you've got to be really, this is one thing you got to be really careful about. And I've had to go through this exact scenario where I got lucky with some timing on real estate, similar scenario in town neighborhood, and there was a lot of appreciation, but I put a lot of money into the house too. And you can, you just have to keep track of all of that and have at least some record that, hey, I spent $30,000 on a roof. I redid the kitchen. It was $40,000 and so on and so forth. You really want to be able to make sure you can document the money you put into the house because it increases your basis and then it will help. It's a big determinant whether you have a big tax bill here, which you could have a fairly big tax bill because of all the gain, or you may have no tax bill, which obviously I'd rather see you have no tax bill. So just make sure you're documenting what you put into the house. You sell this, you probably walk away with obviously a ton of equity, and then you're going somewhere else, right? So would you see staying in Georgia, or you may actually go to North Carolina?
Well, there's a house there already, so no problem. Because if you're going to sell a house, you've got the conundrum of
Where do you go? Sort yeah. Of. Do you buy another 3-2 bungalow for $1 million in town or not?
No, probably. It would just depend. But yeah. So I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't cutting off my nose despite my face with that one. Having just endured a very large death tax recently. With a parent, and that hurt dramatically. So, you know, I'm wise to the world, and I don't want to do anything that's foolish.
Are you going to miss Morningside? The question is, where you're going to miss Morningside? It's a really wonderful neighborhood. It really, and again, I don't live in Morningside, but I'm next to that, and it's a really cool neighborhood. But North Carolina is awesome too. So, but yeah, just get your renovation ducks in a row, and have a conversation with your CPA to make sure that you adjust your basis. And you are going to be in great shape. Good luck in North Carolina, Audrey. Thank you for the call.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care. We're going to keep going to the phones here. We're going to join. Where are we going, Ryan? And we have a prize pack, just as a reminder, I believe. We're going to Dan in Alpharetta. Dan, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? Dan in Alpharetta, good morning. I don't know. Is Dan hearing me? No, I guess not. Let's go to Susan in Griffin. Susan, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can I help?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've sold my house, and I've decided to rent for a year until I decide if I want to buy again, but I don't think I will. I'm 70. I'm enjoying the apartment life. So I have the proceeds from the house, which are about $180,000. I've parked them in a money market for 3 months, making 1.25 on the little promo.
Okay.
So
that's not terrible. That's not terrible. 1.25.
No,
okay.
Not terrible. And I have some other assets, and I have a guaranteed income, so I feel like I'm as covered as I guess I need to be, really. And I'd like to make this money grow, you know, if that makes sense, without buying another home.
So this is interesting. So you had a home, obviously, for probably many years, and are you already in retirement, or are you still working?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Already in retirement, and you sold your place, and now is it because you were moving locations, or you just kind of sick of you were tired of owning a house, maintenance, everything like that, and you wanted to kind of simplify life. What was the move?
Well, it was both. I didn't have to move. I chose. It was a hard decision, but I decided to go with a simple and also to move closer to my family.
Oh, good. So okay. That makes sense.
That's what I did. And, you know, I think that's going to work out.
So you've got kids then in Georgia, I guess. Right? And grandkids too?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you want to be near them. And is this, as far as your cost now, if we're looking at kind of a bigger picture, obviously you've got some Social Security.
Right.
In addition to that, do you have any other, is it pension? Or are you living off some of the other investments? And that's kind of where I'm getting here, is how much would you, do you A, need the income off the investments, and what would be like an ideal amount that you're generating?
Yeah, well, I don't think I need the investments. I'm not living off of them. I have a good pension. So my net that I get every month after taxes and all that stuff is a little over $5,000, which seems to be perfectly fine for me. I have long-term care. I feel like I'm okay, you know.
So this is almost kind of your backup money that's almost reserve. And this is after tax money, because this is from the sale of a house. It's not a retirement fund. Do you have some IRA or what would have used to be maybe 401k money? Do you have some of that as well? Or is this most of your liquid, or most of your liquid assets, or is this 100? This 180 close to 200,000.
No, I have 200,000 in other things. You know, other little, very, very conservative mutual funds and some sort of an annuity, but very, very safe and very conservative. Not growing a lot, but you know, growing some.
My thought here for you, Susan, and part of the reason I want to ask a little bit more about the family. So you've got kids here, and you've got grandkids, and you don't really need the investment money. So let's call it, let's say round number, you have about $400,000 in different savings, right? So that could, if you wanted it to, and this is, let's just say that I'm using the 4% rule, or even at age 70, if you can say, well, let's call it 4% plus inflation or 5% without inflation on the 400,000. If you wanted to, you could take about 20,000 a year for you, right? Or call it another 1600 bucks a month, but you don't need it. My thought in this case is that you give this money another 20, 30 year time horizon, because if you don't really need it, technically it's going to eventually be the kids' money, maybe the grandkids. So you can invest this like you're 45 or 50 years old, because the horizon isn't just for you, it's for the whole family. And I think that if that's the case, you want to have at least 50, potentially up to 60 or 70% in the stock side of the market. So something like a target date fund, that maybe a target 2025 or 2035 fund through Vanguard, let's do this. I got to go quick break here, news, weather, traffic, but I'll come back and give you a couple quick examples or ideas on this. So stay tuned.
Okay.
And if you can, I'll just answer you once I get back. If you can't, hang on. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Welcome back to Money Matters. Susan, did you hold or not? I can't tell.
I did hold. I'm all here.
God bless you. We're the best callers on the planet. So here's my just one parting thought for you. As you're thinking about investing this money, the proceeds of the house, your time horizon's longer than you might think. So my thought would be, if you looked at a target date type of fund, whether it's a Vanguard or even a Schwab or a Fidelity Freedom Fund that are all target based, the key here is that you've got a mix of stocks and bonds. And I like the year around 2025 for most of these, whether it's Vanguard or it's Fidelity. If you're targeting the 2025 range, you're going to have around 65% in U.S. and international stocks. The other 35% is bond oriented, so it's safer, a little bit of interest. and that's a nice balance. And now that at 70, you might say, oh, that's too risky. I think you have a long horizon here, and some sort of mix like that is where you want to target. I know we don't have a ton of time, so if you have any questions and want to talk further, certainly you can find me at westmoss.com. Happy to continue the conversation. Or you can go to GetWella, GetWella.com for some other ideas, and we're happy to help. Ryan Ealy, we've got a prize pack, my friend. What's going on? The newly engaged Ryan Ealy. Prize pack.
That's right. The WSB Weekend Prize Pack is a pair of Sunday Tasting Tent tickets to the Atlanta Food and Wine Festival, May 31st through June 3rd at Piedmont Park's Promenade. Caller number 3, the tickets are yours.
It's 404-741-0750. If you missed today or didn't catch parts of the show, we talked about participation versus perfection when it comes to markets and when you get in, when you get out. Participation is the key, not perfection. We're writing about this in the AJC coming up next week. So with that, if you want to find me and the team, Money Matters team, easy to do so. Go to WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com. You can find Money Matters at iTunes, just Wes Moss Money Matters. Enjoy the rest of this wonderful Sunday. Thank you so much for tuning in to Money Matters. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here, News 95.5 and AM 750. WSB.